WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Hurricane Idalia is weakening, but still causing a lot of problems after making landfall in Florida's Big Bend region as a Category 3. Florida's Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie says Perry got the brunt of it.
We know we have a couple of businesses that have caught on fire, a few that have roofs knocked off of them, maybe potentially one collapse. We're getting some conflicting information on that. But we do have crews that are there working hand-in-hand with Taylor County Sheriff's Office and Taylor County Fire Rescue.
The storms also caused power outages for hundreds of thousands of people in both Florida and Georgia. And now the Carolinas are bracing for a hit, too.
I'm Jim Crisula in Rains, South Carolina. It's a most appropriate name as the rain and wind of Idalia head this way. It's dumping heavy rain and flood watches are posted across eastern areas of Georgia and the Carolinas. Tornado watches are also in effect, as are tropical storm warnings all along the coast of the southeast U.S.
Rudy Giuliani just got hit with a default judgment for defaming two poll workers in Georgia. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
A victory in court for former Georgia election workers Shay Moss and Ruby Freeman in their defamation lawsuit against former Trump advisor Rudy Giuliani for baseless claims made after the 2020 election. There'll be a trial to determine how much Giuliani will have to pay, but the judge says Giuliani simply defied the court and this lawsuit and said donning a cloak of victimization may play well on the public stage, but not in court.
Meantime, former Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio's sentencing for orchestrating attacks on January 6 has now been delayed till Tuesday. The judge was sick today. Prosecutors are seeking a 33-year sentence. There's now proof that Russia's working with North Korea in its war with Ukraine. Here's CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
The White House says intelligence shows Russian President Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un have exchanged letters about munitions for the war, and talks are advancing. North Korea, meanwhile, has launched another ballistic missile. This test came just hours after the U.S. flew a long-range bomber to the Korean Peninsula in a show of force against the North.
Scary flight for passengers flying into Atlanta yesterday from Italy. WSB reporter Amanda Moyers got those details.
The FAA says the Airbus hit turbulence about 40 miles northeast of Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. Atlanta-based Delta says the plane was carrying 151 passengers and 14 crew members. The plane landed safely last night. The airline says both customers and crew were among the injured, but we do not know the extent of those injuries.
About a dozen people were hospitalized. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Tamron.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A new mural is being painted on a downtown Eau Claire building. According to a WQOW report, the mural is being painted on the family promise of the Chippewa Valley Beacon House this week, with a theme of overcoming adversity and anxiety. Sylvia Hecht, co-creator of the public painting project, says the mural should be done by Thursday, and it won't be the last new mural in Eau Claire this year. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he might launch impeachment proceedings against Janet Protasiewicz if she doesn't recuse herself from lawsuits challenging Wisconsin's legislative maps. Protasiewicz called the maps rigged during her election campaign. She isn't saying if she'll recuse herself. Democrats say Republicans are trying to flout the will of the voters who elected the liberal justice in a landslide. Meanwhile, emails obtained by Wiz Politics reveal tense exchanges between conservative Chief Justice Annette Ziegler and the new liberal majority. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board, the fantastico Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Wednesday, August 30th, 2023. It is
hump day.
Perfect. That's exactly what I want to hear on Wednesday. It's hump day. Glad to have you along. Great to have Jack Kelly and Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch with us in hour number one.
Absolutely. Some very smart people they have over there at Wisconsin Watch.
Yeah, great reporting. Digging into these emails from the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, what do you feel? What are your thoughts on this Wisconsin Watch article detailing all these kind of petulant, tawdry emails back and forth between justices? And again, as we talked about, what the liberals on the Supreme Court with their new majority are doing, by all accounts, is not illegal. It is not unprecedented. It's simply making the changes that they're entitled to make, not unlike what conservatives have done when they control the court. What do you think? Give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you on the phone line or on the Civic Media app. You can call or text in there. A very patient Mark from the SAC. We appreciate you holding on the line, Mark, and listening in to that last segment. The floor is yours, sir. What say you?
Yeah, I don't blame the liberals for taking what I consider to be immediate action, because after all, wasn't Knoedl talking about impeaching Judge Janet Protasiewicz right after she got elected? I mean,
absolutely.
Says, if I get this, I'm going to do this. And that, how are you supposed to react to something like that when opposition is ready, has got the knives out already, and you can see them sharpening those knives and ready to go after you, and you're just supposed to sit there and wait there for them to stab you? I mean, that it is just ridiculous, and the tears that they're shedding right now. Annette Ziegler, who, in my opinion, should have never been elected to the Supreme Court in the first place, because back when she was a circuit court judge, she failed to recuse herself or inform the opposing party on one of the cases she was judging that her husband was a party to. I mean, ignoring that judicial responsibility there. So that kind of, to me, that kind of, and that's back when she first got elected. I mean, because I was paying attention way back then on that. I mean, mm-hmm. But these guys, and how you can actually, and the idiocy of Wisconsin law, you can impeach a judge, and not even before she's done anything wrong, just for the sake of impeaching her, say we're impeaching her, and she hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, that's like you can, I mean, that's, she hasn't, and even if she voted, one way or the other on the redistricting case, it is not a crime to say that this is, you think that the current maps are rigged, because of course they are. They, in my opinion, and it's simply for just reading the statute and that they're not contiguous or compact. I mean, that mm-hmm. you, can't have little pockets here and there outside of the district and saying claim that those are in conformity with state law.
Mark, interrupt for a second. Stay on the line. But to your point, the great Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area was just on town call last hour with Will and Luke, and he unearthed this goodie in response to questioning from State Senator Kelda Royce. Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, came out and admitted that partisan advantage had indeed been a consideration in drawing the maps. To pick it up in the middle of the quote, he says, quote, "So yes, was partisanship considered as a consideration of the maps? Yes, there are certain times that partisanship was," unquote. So, I mean, right there, Robin Voss admitted it. Janet Protasiewicz just parroted what Robin Voss said.
It is just, and let's remember they kind of went outside of the Capitol to formulate those maps. He brought in Michael Best and Friedrich to help them draw those maps. They're bringing in voter information to draw the maps, and which to me completely says, well, this is what they're doing, using that information, because based on what I understand of state law, it's supposed to be based on, you know, down to ward lines and stuff like that, but not break up wards, not break up towns, not break up counties. That is how the maps are supposed to be drawn, and population, so all the districts have, you know, relatively equal in terms of population. But you're not supposed to be bringing in voter data to do those things, and they did bring in voter data to draw those maps, which is a violation of, in my opinion, a violation of at least the spirit of the law, if not the letter of the law. And it is just, and for them to actually say that we're going to impeach her,
right.
It's just, you know, that how are you supposed to say, well, it did make nice. I mean, why are the Democrats, why should the liberals actually make nice when you got guys that are out there, you know, not making nice and been plotting against you as soon as you get elected?
Mark, up against a break. Always appreciate you calling in. Mark in the sack.
Thanks, brother.
Yep. Always welcome to the show. Let's go quickly to Darren in Fort Atkinson. Darren, appreciate you listening. 1 minute left. It's all yours.
I just want to remind the stupid Republicans that they really can't impeach her because she has not committed a crime or any other serious offense. So I agree with you,
Darren. I agree on the face of it. They can, in fact, the Assembly could have an impeachment hearing and they could vote and quote-unquote impeach her. Then the Senate would be up to them whether or not they would convict her. So they can do it. The question is, should they? 30 seconds.
They shouldn't, and if they do, I think Evers could put her right back in.
I believe that's true. Don't quote me on that. I'm not an attorney, but I believe he could reappoint her. I think you're right on that.
Yep.
Darren, great call. Appreciate it. Darren down in Fort Atkinson. Stay tuned. More on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 73. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 53. Sunny with a high near 79 on your Thursday. For Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 59. Friday, sunny, breezy, and a high near 87. Winds gust to 30 miles per hour. It's 73 at our studios.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Pursuing truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing so. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, August 30th. Mr. Sommer is on the board. All of you listening across Wisconsin on the radio network and also around the world on the Civic Media app. We appreciate that so very much. Talking about this article in Wisconsin Watch today on the Supreme Court and the chaos between the liberals and the conservatives. Texting in on the text line, here's what you're telling us. First of all, from Wes in Middleton, listening on WMDX, says it took the Dems, meaning Democrats, 15 years to finally play ball. It's about damn time. The GOP doesn't like it when they start losing at their own game. A decade of unchecked unilateral power on the right wasn't enough. Let's make Wisconsin a democracy again. Unquote. Also, we have from Travis in Greenfield. Thank you, Mr. Sommers, on WAUK. Quote, is this impeachment something that could go to the Supreme Court? The justices should rule it's unjust or anyone could be next. Unquote. That is a great question. And I'll tell you who could answer it. Is our friend Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, who is an attorney and, of course, was the chair of the Democratic Party for years, has a great program that comes on after hours at 3 o'clock, Matt Flynn Direct, who is an attorney. I don't know. As I said in the last, and this is all surrounding that Republicans, Robin Voss, especially in the Assembly, is threatening to impeach the new Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Because Republicans don't think that she has the right to sit on the bench in a redistricting case to determine whether the maps in Wisconsin are constitutional or whether they should be rewritten for state legislators and members of Congress. Don't feel that Protasiewicz should rule on it because she had the audacity to tell the truth during a campaign. She just came out and said it. She said the maps are rigged. Isn't that refreshing? To have a Supreme Court justice or a candidate just says the truth. Said they're rigged. And the Republicans find that ridiculous. I want to reemphasize this. This is from Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. Great guy. Was on town call last hour or the 12 o'clock hour. Here's what Dan Schaefer tweeted out this week. Said, reminder once again that Robin Voss admitted in the lone public hearing the Republican-controlled state legislature held on new maps that partisanship was, in fact, used in drawing the lines. He essentially admitted he rigged the maps, according to Dan Schaefer. And then he includes this excerpt, quote, at one point in response to questioning from State Senator Kelda Royce, Voss just came out and admitted that partisan advantage had indeed been a consideration in drawing the maps. Here is the actual quote from the legislative hearing. Senator Kelda Royce from Madison, quote, so just to be clear, Representative Voss, partisanship advantage is not an intent of these maps. Then Robin Voss, quote, it's clearly a constitutional allowance. The Supreme Court, as you know, said there is no problem. There is no constitutional prohibition on that criteria. So yes, was partisanship considered as a consideration of the map? Yes. There are certain times that partisanship was, unquote. So, I mean, Voss has admitted it. Pardon me. So what the Republicans' argument is that the former conservative-leaning Supreme Court ruled in favor of the people who put them on the court and said it was constitutional. The question is it really? I'm not an attorney, but I think if you read the law, what it says is, yes, in special allowances, you can use partisanship as a factor, but it can't be one of the factors. I'm paraphrasing. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's reasonable to say, well, you know what, this person's district, you know, let's take Richland Center, where I'm from, town of 5,000 people. All right, let's say that a town of 5,000 votes pretty much a particular way. Well, rather than drawing a line through a town of 5,000 people and saying half the town is going to have one state representative and half the town is going to have another state representative, first and foremost, we're going to say it's contiguous. It's contiguous. In other words, it keeps a municipality together so they don't wonder who represents them. But also, you know, as a consideration, the town also happens to vote mostly Republican or mostly Democratic, whatever it might be. So, yes, I mean, we're kind of taking partisanship into consideration, but it's not the consideration. What happened in 2010 into 2011 with the maps, and how do I know this? How do you know that Todd's not just speculating? Because I was there. I was working for a state senator. A Republican state senator. And the Republican Senate caucus, guy by the name of Tad Ottman, was an operative for then Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who's now a member of the U.S. Congress. Tad Ottman would vacillate back and forth between being paid by the state government and had an office and a desk in the Capitol, and being paid for by CERS, C-E-R-S. It stands for Committee to Elect a Republican Senate. It's the political arm of the Wisconsin State Senate, Republicans. Democrats have one just like it as well. And due to those lawsuits and those court hearings back in the 1990s, it said that as a state staffer, you are not allowed to do political work, blatantly campaign work in the Capitol with state resources. So Tad Ottman would vacillate. 6 months, he'd be working, quote unquote, in the office. Then he'd take, quote unquote, 6 months off and he'd go across the street. It was all borderline legal. But Tad Ottman had a big computer across the street at this law firm. And what they did, and this is evidenced as people like former state senator Leah Vukmir, those emails have come out under open records, and she's emailing Tad Ottman and going right down the list saying, hey, this municipality or this, you know, if you really need to make this Senate seat stronger or this assembly seat more Republican, you can throw those people in with me because I can absorb that. I can tell you that they didn't even allow a sitting state senator on the Republican side to look at the draft of the new maps unless they signed a non-disclosure agreement, a legal document barring them from talking about it. That's how secretive it was. They used high-end computers and software to load in all the voting data from every municipality in Wisconsin and then used basically what we would call AI programming today, artificial intelligence, to draw the lines, to carve out individual houses on streets based on partisanship to make each district, well, I was going to say each district as Republican as it could be. That would be slightly inaccurate. Here's why. Pardon me. Places like Madison and Milwaukee, they made sure that those districts were as democratic as they could be. It's called packing and cracking. You pack as many people into a district of one political persuasion as possible, or you take an area that doesn't favor your party and you crack it. In other words, you draw all these little squiggly lines into, like, say, Stevens Point. And Stevens Point ends up with four assembly people instead of one because they crack that Democratic base. That's a hypothetical example. It's called packing and cracking. And that's what Republicans did after the 2010 census. And that's why Republicans continue to dominate the legislature when, if you add up the total amount of votes for Republicans and the total amounts for Democratic candidates for state legislature, more people in Wisconsin voted for Democratic candidates than Republican. That's a fact in the last two elections. But yet Republicans have an overwhelmingly solid control, have a supermajority in the Senate, and two seats away from a supermajority in the Assembly. Why? Because of packing and cracking and gerrymandering, and because they used partisanship as the number one reason in drawing the lines. And that is unconstitutional. So Janet Protasiewicz is right. The maps are rigged. Robin Voss admitted so. And I was there to see it. The difference is you had a Supreme Court of Wisconsin who only cared about partisanship in their ruling when they ruled the current maps constitutional, versus now you have four Supreme Court justices on the liberal side. They're going to actually apply the Constitution as it's written. And you can say, well, Todd, they're just doing the same thing, but for the Democrats. You can say that, but that's not what the law says. That's not what the law says. So that's where we're at in this Supreme Court argument. And that's why the Republicans are so threatened by liberal majorities and Janet Protasiewicz in particular, because she's telling the truth. She knows the truth. And the liberals most likely are going to rule that way. And Republicans know it. So this is for all the marbles, folks. I mean, I know my friends that know me will say, well, sometimes Todd, can, you know, a little bit of an exaggeration for dramatic effect. I plead guilty. But on this one, I've called it like I see it because I've been there. This whole thing of redistricting and the 2024 elections is for all the marbles, meaning democracy or autocracy. Republicans know that, so they're going to do anything they can to get rid of Protasiewicz, including threatening impeachment. Now, do I think it'll happen? I've heard Mr. Zomers help me out, if you can remember who said this, I think it was somebody on Civic. What's likely to happen, maybe it was Devils. What's likely to happen is that Voss and the Assembly will actually impeach Protasiewicz, but they won't actually convict her in the Senate. That's I think, a solid theory. I think it was Devils with Crudy and Dom. Somebody said that. So don't get this confused, all right? This, and I said this before, it's a sad thing for the Supreme Court as a whole. But this is for all the marbles, and that's why this is so contentious. We're going to come back and talk about Foxconn. Fox on the Run, Scotty Walker, after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says power crews are standing by to help hundreds of thousands of people in the dark now thanks to Hurricane Idalia.
There'll be a lot of help coming on the back end of this storm, and we're ready to go. As soon as it's safe to do so, you're going to see all these different assets deployed.
Flooding still a big concern as the storm closes in on Georgia. And FEMA's keeping a close eye on it, too.
Idalia is the strongest storm to hit this part of Florida, to make landfall in this part of Florida in over 100 years.
Administrator Deanne Criswell says emergency aid is set to go wherever it's needed.
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Senator Mitch McConnell seemingly froze again today while taking questions from reporters in Kentucky. His team says he just felt a little lightheaded going into it, but a similar incident happened to McConnell last month. He said he was fine. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Trumbull County man has been charged with vehicular homicide and obstructing an officer after a crash in the town of Gale that left a 64-year-old woman dead this past March. According to the criminal complaint, Gavin Becker was driving to work on Highway 53 around 8 a.m. when he crossed the center line and hit an SUV. Becker originally told police his steering wheel locked up, causing the crash, but evidence later showed he was on his phone at the time of the crash, and Becker told police he'd been looking at his screen. A Wisconsin Target store had to be evacuated on Tuesday morning after staff members were notified of a bomb threat via email. The New Berlin Police Department responded to the bomb threat around 9:45 a.m. on Tuesday and requested assistance from the Milwaukee Police Department's bomb squad. After a thorough sweep of the area, no bomb was found, and authorities concluded that the incident was a false bomb threat. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Fun doing so. Welcome back to the show. Todd Alba along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Wednesday, August 30th, 2:33 on the time and temperature sign. Button up this last segment on the Supreme Court of Wisconsin and talking about Republicans now threatening to impeach our new chief, or not new chief, but our new Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, because she had the audacity to tell the truth during the campaign and said the maps, the congressional and legislative maps are rigged, which they are. And now likely there'll be a case come before the Supreme Court on these maps to reconsider them. Republicans say she's unqualified, want her to recuse herself. I don't think the judge is going to have her, the justice is going to do that whatsoever because she told the truth. What are you saying? On the Civic Media app line, simply download Civic Media's app. You can text us there. From WMDX area here in Madison. Quote, she, meaning Janet Protasiewicz, said publicly the maps were rigged before Election Day and the people of Wisconsin voted for her. So the majority of voting Wisconsinites agree with her position. The problem is they are losing control of creating chaos, unquote. I'll go along with that. That's Lee from the Grove. Lee, appreciate that. Also from WMDX, Lee in the Grove, and who cares, Lee says, quote, if the guy got fired, meaning Randy Koshnick, his Republican colleagues made Wisconsin an at-will state, so now he knows what it's like to be fired without cause, unquote. That's a good one. That's very true. I want to button up this issue, but before we do, we got Bill from Oconomowoc. Easy for Todd to say. Bill in Oconomowoc, we appreciate you listening and calling in. Sir, what say you?
You know, on having Janet Protasiewicz recuse herself, and then they talk about impeachment, I would say go ahead. You try an impeachment, we'll slap you with obstruction of justice. Because she was voted by the people to take care of it. They know across the whole nation, we have one of the most, if not the number one, most jury-rigged state in the nation. Mm-hmm. That's totally illegal. So when you try and prevent something from being done for that, technically, and I know it's a stretch, that's an obstruction of justice. Thanks, and I'll hang up and hear what your thoughts are.
Sure. Appreciate it, Bill. Always welcome. Bill at Oconomowoc. Appreciate him listening down there. You got something, right? I mean, as lawyers like to say, you can sue anybody for anything. Because the question always comes up, can you sue for that? Can a person get sued for that? Most attorneys will tell you, well, sure, you can sue for anything. The question is, do you have standing? And will it go to trial? You could always file a lawsuit. Attorneys are happy to do that for you as long as they collect. The question is, do you have standing? And will the thing get thrown out in court, or will it be successful? And this comes down also to the separation of powers. If the legislature, keyword if, they were to impeach and convict Janet Protasiewicz, would there be a Supreme Court or a lawsuit against the Supreme Court? Maybe. But to the other caller, and if our friend Matt Flynn's listening, I hope he answers this in the next hour, because I can't, because I'm not an attorney. It's a great question if, and it's a huge if, the state legislature would impeach and convict Janet Protasiewicz, could Governor Evers simply reappoint her to fill her own vacancy? I think that he could as a non-attorney, but Matt Flynn will know. Call him if he doesn't bring it up in the next hour, because I would love to have Matt's take on that. You can hear Matt Flynn direct after the top of the hour at 3. And we finished up with the text line, Mr. Zombers. We've got everybody in. All right, very good. We're all set there. We're going to talk about Foxconn in a moment. But before we do, I had a couple of texts that wanted an update on yesterday's first hour. If you were with us, you'll recall I was talking about my spectrum nightmares, my telecom nightmares, but in particular, my ongoing battle with Spectrum trying to get new service to my apartment. Moved into a new place a couple months ago, now over a couple of months ago. I'm not going to recant the entire thing again today, but basically, going into last night, I mean, it's kind of like a baseball game. I was hoping we were going into the ninth inning, but apparently we're maybe at the seventh inning stretch. But going into last night, into the seventh inning of this saga, I was going on Spectrum Guy number 5. Spectrum Guy number 5. 5 technicians have been to my apartment now in the last 2 months, countless phone calls, but 4 and 5 hours on the phone, 3 trips to the Spectrum shop in Madison. And I'm still not getting the service that I pay for, and they can't figure out why. So I had Spectrum Dude number 5 in last night. Very nice guy. Giovanni was his name. And I explained the whole side. You want to know what I did? I said, come on in. I said, can I grab you a beer? I said, I got Spotted Cow in the fridge. I said, can I get you a beer? I'm not going to tell anybody. He wouldn't take a beer. He said, oh, I'd like one, but I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, I understand that.
I understood that.
I know. I try to do stuff like that too. Right. If you have somebody coming in working in your house, especially if you know it's a tough job, like, right. Hey, you at least want some water.
Right. I should have baked cookies, but I didn't. I said, you want some water or something else? No, he was fine. I said, well, here, grab a seat. I had him sit down in a bar stool in my apartment. And I told him the 15-minute version of what the nightmare I've gone through. Very gracious. He said, that's terrible. It's crazy. And then he proceeded for the next hour to test things that I told him wouldn't work. And I get it. You know, every technician has a list. They have to say, well, at least they did that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. So after about an hour and a half of trying things, he goes, well, I thought I figured it out, but that notion was dispelled. I said, what did you think it was? He said, well, I thought I saw a key in your guide to CNN, so I thought you were locked out of it. I said, no, there's no key. Yeah, he goes, I figured that out. I said, oh, I'm sure you did. So he said, I'm going to go out to my truck and grab a couple of things. I'll be back. I said, fine. He was gone about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. He came back. He goes, well, that was fortunate. I said, what? Well, what's fortunate? He goes, well, I don't know if it was by the grace of God or the universe or however you want to believe. But he said, I just, you know, one of the other people in the apartment let me in. And it's the guy right down the hall. And he saw I was a Spectrum guy. And he started telling me his problem. And he goes, you know what? His problem is just like your problem. I said, you don't say. This guy down the hall, like three doors down, is having the same thing. He's not getting all the channels. And guess what? He's had multiple Spectrum guys out to his house too. Now, this is very interesting because this brings it all back to Spectrum guy number one, this great young Ukrainian immigrant who from day one, and I don't do a very good Ukrainian accent, but he said, I tell you what the matter. The building is miswired. It is badly wired. Probably going to be a lot of other people here. Probably going to be a big headache. They have to rewire the building. And I told this to other people, and they laughed at me. Well, guess who's laughing now? It was the Ukrainian immigrant who probably nailed this thing on day one 2 months ago. But nobody would listen to him. And he wasn't even a full bird Spectrum guy. He was just, you know, not just, but he was a contractor. Knew what he was talking about. And so Giovanni calls up last night, Spectrum guy number 5, calls up Spectrum guy number 6. I said this on Kreitlow's show this morning, the old TV show, Grizzly Adams. Great program of the 70s. guy that was accused of committing a crime that he didn't do, went up in the mountains and lived as Grizzly Adams. And he encountered this mountain man Jack, played by Denver Pyle. And Mountain Man Jack's, he had so many mules that he quit naming them and just called them by their number. And in the show, it was number 7. His mule is number 7. I am now at Spectrum Guy number 6, so I could just start calling by number. So number 5 calls up number 6, who happens to be his manager, the supervisor. And he goes, well, you got a situation here. He said, he told the whole story, ran into another guy, has the same problem. Uh-huh. Yep. That's what I thought. All right, great. All right, bye. Looks at me as well. He goes, look, lucky for me, because I don't have to stay here anymore. But he said, we got to bring in more people. He said, and my supervisor is going to be here in the morning to bring other equipment to try to figure this out, because I can't figure it out. But here's the thing. He said, here's my supervisor's name and telephone number, which I will not give out over the air. So now I've got a Spectrum manager's name and number. I thought, this is great. I said, what time do they open? He said, 8:00. Call him then. He knows you're going to call. I said, great. I don't want to be that guy, so I'm not going to call at 8:01. So I waited until about 8:10, and I call, got a voice machine, left a kind message. Said I could hang around till about 10, but then I got to go into work. Never heard back. It has been radio silence today. After contacting Spectrum guy number 6, I'm really now hoping to get to 7 because I want number 7. I don't know why. I like the number 7. It's gotten comical. So what do you think, Mr. Sommers? Is this progress?
It's hard to say. with these telecom companies, you never know.
It's hard to say.
You never know what's going on because, like, I know we talked about this yesterday, too. Yes. It's at all levels. You have some people who are competent and amazing, and they are hamstrung by the fact that there's no communication
right
in a communication company. And they, everyone has to verify for themselves, whether that's technicians on the phone or technicians in person. And a lot of them don't know what they're doing, and they've just been forced through. Like, I know I've
poor
had
training,
or they're in training.
Yeah.
Or if you're talking like buying cell phone plans or buying internet plans, if they are on the sales side, explicitly lying.
Right. Yeah. Right.
To get,
and they don't believe
numbers.
They don't believe you. I mean, I've been telling them that, look, the first guy said this, and I think it's a problem in the, I think it's wiring, or it's not just my apartment. Finally, last night I had evidence of that, so I'm thankful for that. I'm going to keep calling this guy, this Spectrum number six. So we shall see. That's the update. That's the update. We'll keep you updated, and in the name of good consumer protection, we'll let you know what happens. It is 2:45 right now. Time now, Mr. Zomers, for a Foxconn update.
Fox on the run. You scream and everybody comes. We're running. Take a run and hide yourself away.
Fox on the
run. Very nice. Great song from the 70s. When my dad was coaching wrestling at UW Richland, the late, great UW Richland. Fox on the Run. Who does that number?
Sweet.
Sweet. Sweet. Fox on the Run. This is Foxconn on the Run.
Foxconn on the Run.
we're gonna work that up a little bit, have a little bit of open, because this is a story that just keeps on giving. Going back to the old Scotty Walker days. And this is important because, again, I was in the building in the Capitol when all this crap went down. And this was promised as this next Silicon Valley was going to happen right here in Wisconsin. All kinds of jobs going to be created. And here in this great story by Maraletta Moon, headline, Foxconn's promise to invest $10 billion, with a B, in Wisconsin is now a distant memory. It's now selling to mostly empty buildings in the state. The story picks up, this is the Associated Press. When Foxconn announced its plans to open facilities in Wisconsin back in 2017, it promised to invest $10 billion into bringing production to the United States that was expected to lead to as many as 13,000 jobs. Remember that? Scotty Walker going around the state. Well, you know, it's going to have 13,000 jobs. It's really great. Trying to do a really bad. He was doing a bad. That was a bad impression of him. He was doing a bad impression of Tommy Thompson. Scott Walker tries to be Tommy so bad, but he just can't do it. We'll come back, tell you about it, take your calls after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent.
Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 73. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 53. Sunny with a high near 79 on your Thursday. For Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 59. Friday, sunny, breezy, and a high near 87. Winds gust to 30 miles per hour.
It's 73 at our studios.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. That is 10 minutes before our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn, steps in with Matt Flynn Direct, taking all callers, giving you great insight into history in the making like nobody else can. Matt Flynn Direct coming up immediately after us. And Mr. Zommers, I have been informed that I have the high honor and privilege of guest hosting Matt Flynn this Friday. So looking forward to that. I'm going to shift around a little bit. Apparently, Devils is Crudy and Dom. They have bigger and better things to do. They're not in. So we're doing our show from 1 until 3, then I'm going to guest host Matt Flynn Direct, and then Matt Flynn is going to guest host the Devil's Advocates. So if you want to hear Matt Flynn, don't tune in on Friday to the Matt Flynn Show. Tune in to Devil's Advocates.
Well, you should still tune in anyway.
Well, sure, I'll be there. I'll be there doing the very best I can. But it's always an honor and a pleasure to guest host Matt Flynn Direct. The actual host will be there today. So tune in after the news at 3 o'clock for Matt Flynn Direct. A couple of comments on the text line about my spectrum woes. Jim from Madison on WMDX says, number 22 is the magic number, Todd. Good gravy, I hope not. I'm now on spectrum tech number 6. If it's 22, I'm going to lose the remainder of what little hair I have left.
I think if it starts to get above 10, you should be like, all right, guys, I ain't paying this bill. I'm going through someone else's. Adios.
What do you think if it got like above 10? What do you think about doing the show from the Spectrum parking lot?
I think that would be very funny. And we should definitely do it if it gets above 10.
If it did it like on the sidewalk, they couldn't say anything.
If it gets above 10 and it's like 3 months out,
right,
that's just ridiculous.
We'll do the show live from the east side of Madison at the Spectrum headquarters. From WMDX, Wes in Madison says, the 8th wonder of the world. Well, it certainly left us wondering. Right? Well, there you go.
With Foxconn. Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of Foxconn, if you want to call in, happy to take your calls on Foxconn. What are your impressions of this? The great boondoggle. The grift that Scott Walker left us with. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. This great story from the Associated Press by Marietta Moon. And talking about what happened here after Scott Walker promised 13,000 jobs to Wisconsin back in 2017. Picking up the story, now the Taiwanese supplier to tech giants like Apple is selling two properties in Eau Claire and Green Bay, purchased for almost $12 million in 2018. The property listings were first reported by Wisconsin Public Radio, which revealed that only 3 floors of the Green Bay building's 6 floors are in use. Meanwhile, the portion Foxconn owns in a mixed-use property in Eau Claire has reportedly remained empty for years. No jobs. That was my editorial. Back to the story. Foxconn originally said that it was going to build, quote-unquote, innovation centers in Wisconsin, including one that will serve as an LCD factory, you know, like for phones or TVs. The project was supposed to be massive enough to strike a $2.85 billion tax credit deal with local government. At the same time the project was announced, then President Trump said that if he did not get reelected, Foxconn, quote, wouldn't be spending $10 billion on manufacturing in the U.S., unquote. The former president was also there when the project broke ground equipped with a golden shovel. Well, of course it was. In 2021, however, Foxconn massively altered the scale of the project and told local government that it would be investing $672 million instead of $10 billion. I'm not great at math, but even I get that that's a huge difference.
Just a bit.
Just a bit. Just a bit outside. It also reduced the number of potential jobs Foxconn did from 1,454 down to 1,454 from 13,000. Again, a significant decrease. The company said back then that its original projections, quote, changed due to unanticipated market fluctuations, unquote, and that reducing the scale of its project to the U.S. gives it the, quote, flexibility to pursue business opportunities in response to changing global market conditions. Foxconn didn't comment on the Eau Claire property, but it told Wisconsin Public Radio that, quote, it will add to the vibrancy of the city's downtown, unquote. Green Bay Mayor Eric Greenwich posted on, well, I call it X, but I call it Twitter. You know what I'm going to start calling it? Craig Ferguson, who used to have the Late Late Show.
You're going to call it Craig Ferguson?
No.
We posted on Craig Ferguson.
That'd be great, though, wouldn't it? No, he came up with a great new name. He's not calling it Twitter or X. You know what he's calling it? Twix.
Twix. That's pretty good. Now, that's right? Another example of a copyright that they definitely don't have, but right. Elon Musk would probably use anyway.
Twix. I like that. He Twixed it out. So on as Gingrich posted on Twix, Gingrich, I should say, he hopes, quote, the sale will lead to better utilization of a fantastic waterfront building. Here's the facts on this. Scott Walker never cared about a huge investment in Wisconsin. He never cared about creating jobs. He simply wanted the photo ops. And we're going to talk about, by the way, people have asked, where's Trigvi Olsen today? His kids are starting school. He's a dad. He's a Katy Perry dad. And he's doing dad stuff today. So he'll be with us tomorrow from at 1:15. Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project. And we're going to talk more about this. But as Trigvi constantly reminds us, former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson of Wisconsin is famous for saying, there are politicians who want to be, and there are politicians who want to do, unquote. Scott Walker was a politician who simply wants to be. Unlike the person that he tries to emulate and be like, and he never will, Tommy Thompson was somebody who wants to do. I would say that Tony Evers, for the most part, is somebody who wants to do. They get things done. Scott Walker simply wanted to pose for political holy pictures to get reelected because he had this goofy dream ever since he went to Badger Boys State to be president of the United States. He's obsessed with it. But Scotty Walker came up short and left us as taxpayers and communities holding the bag. There are no big 13,000 jobs due to Foxconn. And talk to people up north. How about all the mining laws that Scott Walker got passed through? Ruined the environmental protection laws up there. Took advantage of Native American lands. And how many mining jobs are in northern Wisconsin thanks to Scott Walker today? Zero. Zero. Those are the facts. That's the truth. And we pursue it each and every day. And have fun doing so. Mr. Aaron Zomers, we appreciate you. Pat Kreitlow, Matt DeFur, and Jack Kelly from Wisconsin Watch. Stay tuned. Our friend Matt Flynn is next. Don't go anywhere. Back tomorrow with a live show. We'll see you then. Whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, Todd Allball saying, keep banging your drum.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system?
The answer coming up.
Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.